Well, if you would take your Bibles and go to Psalm 34 this morning. Today's Sunday, June the 12th, 2022. We're going to begin in Psalm 34. And this morning, we're going to take a look at living life without fear. And I thought this would be a wonderful verse to start with. This is a great psalm. But we're looking at verse 4, Psalm 34, 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears, from all of them. And of course, this statement, the Lord delivered me from all my fears, really negates the philosophy of today that talks about we need to learn to live with our fears, because we all have fears and we need to learn to live with them. If it's true that we should learn to live with our fears and accept them, why then would God need to deliver us from all of our fears? This is what God said concerning all our fears. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. In Proverbs chapter 29, Proverbs 29 and verse 25. Proverbs 29, 25. The fear of man brings a blessing. Just check and make sure we're all reading the same Bible. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. A snare is a trap. They trap animals. They call it a snare. Having fear doesn't help us, it entraps us. And we see a number of times in God's word where fear is in opposition to believing or trusting God. We saw in Psalm 34, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And I, you know, it's no big, you know, surprise. Fear is promoted everywhere today. Fear of disease, fear of the economy, fear of our country. In 1 John, God's word says, fear has torment. Having torment's not a blessing, right? Being in a snare, not a blessing. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. There are lots and lots of verses in the Bible addressing fear. That's because God's so loving. That's because he doesn't want us to live with fear. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, it's speaking of our Savior Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 14, Hebrews 2, 14, for as much then as the children, meaning human beings, are partakers of flesh and blood. And we are, right? We're flesh and blood. He, Jesus Christ, also himself likewise took part or partook of the same. He was flesh and blood. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and, look at this, deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear brings bondage. And here it says, delivered from the fear of death. We have the hope of Christ's return. We don't have to fear it. Jesus Christ overcame it. And because of his sacrifice, the one with the power of death is going to be ultimately completely destroyed. Remember after the crucifixion in John chapter 20, the disciples were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, right? Living with fear is a trap. It's a snare. Fear has torment, and fear is bondage. Fear always will keep you from enjoying your life. And it also greatly hinders our believing or trusting in God. Jesus Christ, I'm sure you remember, one time said, be not afraid, only believe. We're going to look at that in a few minutes. But right now, if you would go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, back up just a bit. Another familiar verse. in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear happens in the mind. And at times we have to honestly ask ourselves, what is it I'm afraid of? What is it that I'm afraid of? And then when we recognize that, then it's like, well, so what do I want to do about it? I'm sure you know that fear so many times breeds negative projection. Well, if this happens, you know, then that's going to happen because of this, and then this will probably happen. And then what happens if that is just all over the place? We can either allow circumstances or facts to keep us in fear, the snare, the torment, the bondage, or the better option, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I'm sure you're aware that many times in the Bible, it talks about not being afraid, but there are many places where it says that, where God tells us why. Why to not be afraid? Joshua chapter 1. We're going to look at a few of those. Joshua chapter 1. And in the places that we'll look at where God not only says to not be afraid and tells us why, it's very encouraging. It's very inspiring. Joshua chapter 1, and you know, Joshua had the great job of filling Moses' shoes. I'd like to fill Moses' shoes. Moses died, okay, you're in charge. But Joshua was such a wonderful man. But in chapter 1, God is encouraging him to go, take the land and all that. And in verse 9, God said to Joshua, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Why? Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Why? Because I am with you wherever you go. Look at Psalm 23. We're just bouncing all over the place this morning. Well, why not? Psalm 23. Look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This psalm is many times used at funerals or memorial services because of this verse. And I'm not being critical, but this verse says, though I walk through, is that what your Bible says? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If you're walking through something, you come out on the other side. So let's read it again. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which is not a very pleasant place to be, in the valley of the shadow of death. But even in that situation, it says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I will fear no evil. Why? Thou, God, you are with me. I'm not alone. We're never alone. Even in this kind of a situation, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And then it goes on to say, thy rod and thy staff. And what a great comfort that is. This psalm has so many analogies of the shepherds in the lands and times of the Bible. And so God is with us with his rod and staff. Thy rod and thy staff, it says, they comfort me. In the lands and times of the Bibles, two of the things that a shepherd would have would be a rod, which was a club about 4 feet long. And that was if there was any danger to the sheep, a coyote. We saw a coyote out here this morning. If we were shepherds in Bible times, we would have gone out with the club and knocked it out. So it was for protection. And then the staff is what we would call a shepherd's crook. You know, the the long pole with the hook on the end that he could pull the sheep out of the mud if he got stuck, or he could pull down a branch if he needed to. That's what the shepherds had. So what a great comfort to us. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So what are you walking through at this particular time in your life? What am I walking through? I'm always walking through something, right? No matter what we're walking through today, tomorrow, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and staff comfort me. Isn't that beautiful? How about Psalm 46? Let's get dramatic. As if walking through the valley of the shadow of death is not dramatic enough, okay, we'll get even more dramatic. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Very present, not distant. He's with us. Therefore, because he's our strength, because he's with us, therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, we'll not be afraid, because he is with us. He is our strength. He's our refuge. And he's a very present help in time of need. We are not alone. Isn't that awesome? He's not distant. He's present. He told Joshua, I am with you. In Psalm 23, we saw, thou art with me. And here, God is present. We're never alone. We're never alone. And so what we're seeing here in some of these places in God's word is really beautiful, right? Because God's not just saying, look, don't be afraid. What's the matter with you? Don't be afraid. You don't need to have any fear. Just suck it up. Believe. Okay. What's wrong with you? You shouldn't be afraid. Okay. God's so loving. Don't be afraid, because I'm with you. I'm here. My strength, my refuge. I've got the club. I've got the staff. I'll take care of you. Even if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm with you. I'm right there. If the mountains fall, if the earth be removed, I'm still with you. I'm a very present help. How wonderful God is. Look at Isaiah 41, two of my very favorite verses. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not, I will help you. How encouraging that is. In verse 10, fear thou not. Why? For I am with you. Be not dismayed. Why? For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And then verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not. Why? I will help you. What better help could we get than God? I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So God repeatedly says to not be afraid, because I am with you. Well, is he? Is he really with us? Ephesians 4. I know we know the answer, but let's look at it. let's remind ourselves again of it, huh? Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 6 in Ephesians 4. There is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and guess what? In you all. Are we alone? No. God is in us. Philippians 2, next book over. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Are we alone? No, we are never alone. Never, never. And how many times do we hear sometimes in manifestations? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are we ever alone? No. Are there times we feel alone? Yeah. Well, nobody knows what I'm going through right now. We're never alone. God is with us. It's a beautiful verse in Romans 8. Back up a little bit. It's not our God that's promoting fear, discouragement, despair, confusion, division, all this other God's not promoting that. Our enemy is. We can't get caught up in it, in our personal lives and externally. Chapter 8, verse 9, it says, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, or since that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if, or since, Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. But, or since the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Quicken means to restore, make alive. What a beautiful verse for physical healing. Isn't that a beautiful verse for healing? If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, does it? Yeah, okay. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, restore your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Ponder that verse for a while. That is so beautiful. So when it comes to sickness, fear not. Why? Because the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken, restore, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Makes you just want to manifest the Spirit a little bit, doesn't it? Yes. Mark chapter 5. We'll just read this record. Mark 5. Really familiar. But I think in light of teaching, be not afraid, only believe, God is with us. This is such a great record to look at. And I know we've read it before a number of times, so it's not brand new. Mark 5:22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Important to note what this man believed. He believed that if Jesus came and laid his hands on his very, very sick daughter, she'd be healed. That's what he believed. So it's important to remember that. And verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, long time, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Bang! Just immediately. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith, or thy believing, has made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, while he's telling her this, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, your daughter's dead, why troublest thou the master any further? Right as he's telling this woman, the next verse, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. Believe what? Believe what you believed before, right? Short time ago. He believed before that Jesus Christ had the power to bring healing to his daughter if he would just go. And Jesus is still on his way. Jesus is still going. Jesus didn't, when he heard those words, didn't go, oh, shucks, Jairus. So sorry. That's really terrible. God bless you, bro. I feel for you. Nope. Be not afraid. Only believe. Only believe. So that tells us that we can either be afraid or we can believe what God has spoken to us in his word. Be not afraid, only believe. Verse 37, and he, Jesus, suffered no man to follow him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleeps. And they laughed him to scorn. So he said, get out. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, Peter, James, and John, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto you, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. What a record. Be not afraid, only believe. We'll look at one more before we close in Isaiah. Go to Acts chapter 27. So it's a great record to read. We're not going to read the whole record, but I know you've read it before, the shipwreck that Paul was on. Acts 27, you know, they ran into a typhoon, hurricane, whatever you want to call it. Verse 20 says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They knew they were going to die. It's over. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, because he told them, don't go, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Be of good cheer. All hope is gone. They know they're going to die. What is this, some nutcase trying to be positive in a lousy situation? Just be positive. Everything will be okay. It's not about being positive. It's about believing what God says. It's about be not afraid, only believe. So why? Why is he telling them to be of good cheer? Verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And look at the message from the angel, who's a messenger of God. Look what God wanted communicated to Paul, saying, fear not, Paul, don't be afraid. You know what's amazing? Sometimes we see these great believers in God's word. I mean, the Apostle Paul, he got revelation to write the scriptures. You know, he did these miracles and all this. And yet, God's saying, don't be afraid. Sometimes we think that they were immune to everything. They just had the perfectly renewed mind. They never had a bad thought. They never doubted anything. They never. Paul, don't be afraid in this situation. Because he's human. We're all human. So maybe that's why so many times in God's word, he's telling us, don't be afraid. Because we can get afraid of a lot of things. And God doesn't want us to live with fear. Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Don't be afraid, Paul. God's with you. He's going to take care of the situation. Many times in God's word, when God says to not be afraid, to fear not, he tells us why. And we've seen some of those. And many times it's because he reminds us that he is present with us. He will strengthen us. He will heal us. He will restore us. He will protect us. He's a very present help. Remember in Acts 18, Paul went to Corinth and there was some trouble going on. And it says in Acts 18, God's word says, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid." Again, God's telling Paul. We need to tell Paul, don't be afraid. You know what? You can tell anybody, be not afraid, because it can happen to any of us. We can get afraid. So God told him, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace." Why? "For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." So God told Paul, "Don't be afraid. I'm with you." When we have fear, and where we have fear, we need to remember and believe that we're not alone. We are not alone. We're never alone. God is with us. And he is in us by way of the Spirit that he's given us. And in difficult situations, that may take some effort. See, it's not just saying, okay, I'm not going to be afraid. Ooh, this thing's happening. Okay, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid anymore. It's not that. But instead, it's focusing, dwelling, drilling into our minds, I'm not alone. God is with me. God has solutions. God will not leave me alone. God is in this situation because it's God in Christ in me. God is at work within me to will and do of his good pleasure. He's a very present help in time of need. He is my refuge and my strength. He's got his rod and he's got his staff. Many times when we face things, that's what we need to do, to drill into our heads, to get rid of the fear. That make sense? So we just keep reminding ourselves of what God has told us in his word. He's a very present help in time of need. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Let's close in Isaiah 41. We read it once, but it's so great to read it again. Isaiah 41. You know who really needs to hear this message about be not afraid, only believe? We all do. We do. We all do. Things come up in life. Things come up in our personal lives. And things come up in other situations that we live in. And whether we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, or the earth is being removed, or the mountains are falling down, or the economy's tanking, or we get sick, or. Verse 10, Isaiah 41. "Fear thou not." Why? "For he is with you. Be not dismayed, for he is your God. He will strengthen you. He will help you. He will uphold you with the right hand of his righteousness." Verse 13. "For the Lord your God will hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not." Why? Because he will help us. And that's what we need to put in our heads. And that will defeat fear. And so, be not afraid, only believe. Trust God to take care of you in your life. And on top of that, we have some really good news to share with others who might be having some fear, some discouragement, or even despair. We can share with them about our God who can be with them and help them. So, Father, thank you for your wonderful word, your great wisdom, your encouragement for us to trust you and to remember that we're never alone, but that we can put all our trust in you. Thank you for working in us to will and do of your good pleasure. Thank you that by means of the Spirit of God in us, even our physical bodies can be restored. Father, how Blessed we are that you show us why we don't have to be afraid. And I pray, Father, we can also have an opportunity to share with others who might be going through difficult situations that there is a God in heaven, a God of love, a God of power, and a God of might, a God that can and will deliver us. Thank you for your kindness, grace, and mercy, and for all that our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for each one of us. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.